Good morning. Certainly glad to be here with you guys. Greetings from the Expressway Church of Christ down in Louisville. We're so happy to be able to be here with you guys this morning to talk about God's things and to really kind of remind myself of some things that I need to be practicing in my life and help hopefully share with you guys some things that we can be talking about. So we're going to be talking about wisdom and her companions. As many of you may be familiar with, wisdom often is personified as a female, especially throughout the book of Proverbs. And so we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs and some of the things that kind of are always seen with wisdom, and talking about some of the things that are seen with wisdom, kind of highlighting the greatness that wisdom is, and just kind of highlighting some of that for you this morning. So the first thing I did was made this beautiful graphic here. And so what this is I took, I think it was the first 13 chapters of Proverbs, and I looked at words that were often seen with wisdom. And I'll just read through this, but the larger you see the word, the more often it is mentioned in those first 13 chapters. So I'm just going to go through this, the words that are up there. There's a lot up there, but here's what's often seen with wisdom: knowledge, instruction, understanding, justice, judgment, equity, prudence, the simple, discretion, the fear of the Lord, rebuke, counsel, safety, security, no fear of evil, commands, discernment, knowledge of God, righteousness, the law, long life, peace, mercy, truth, favor, high esteem in the sight of God and man, the chastening of the Lord, correction, happiness, riches, honor, pleasantness, the tree of life, sweet sleep, confidence in the Lord, confidence in and from the Lord, blessings, grace, inheritance from God, good doctrine, health, life, health to all their flesh, excellent things, right things, strength, love, life, favor from the Lord and God is often seen with wisdom. So with that huge list of things that are often accompanied with wisdom, first thing I want to kind of talk about here is, where does wisdom come from? Well, we all know wisdom comes from God, right? But let's look at Proverbs 8 and verses 22 through 33. Proverbs 8, 22 through 33. We're going to read about wisdom and kind of where wisdom's from. It says, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was an earth. Before there was an earth, when there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew the circle around on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters would not transgress his commandment, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it." You see here, wisdom's everlasting. It was before us. It was before the earth. It was established before creation. God was using wisdom well before He made us, and he made the earth and all the things that are around it. So it's such an important thing that we need to be thinking about and incorporating into our lives as Christians and as people. And so how do we define what wisdom is? So the world has some definitions for what wisdom is. The first one is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. The quality of being wise. You kind of have to use the word wise in its own definition, right? Or what about the soundness of an application or decision with regard to the quality of experience, knowledge, and good judgment? I think these are good definitions of it, but I don't think it really gets at the heart of what wisdom truly is. And it's interesting, we often want to separate these concepts, these ideas, you know, wisdom from God and wisdom from the world, but really, when we truly think about it and we understand with our biblical worldview, God created everything. There's not a worldly view on wisdom and a godly view on wisdom. There's a worldly way to use wisdom, and there's a godly way to understand wisdom. But really, it's blanket. And really, the only way to be wise is to understand your relationship with God and that application. So here's the definition I came up with for wisdom. The application of skill, knowledge, understanding, and discretion into acts of righteousness. Now, that's my definition of it. You may have to come up with, when you study this, and come up with your own. But that's what I thought of when I was thinking about wisdom and kind of the different things you see around it. And again, it's always going to fall short because, again, we saw that huge list of items that go with wisdom. But the application of skills, knowledge, understanding, and discretion into action, into acts of righteousness. So, is being wise optional? I think oftentimes in life, we like to compartmentalize our lives. We like to say, you know, we can't do it all. And sure, to some degree that's true, but is being wise one of those things that we have an option on? And I guess the answer is yes. That's the obvious answer, right? Because what's the opposite of being wise, right? It's being foolish. But for the person who wants to be pleasing to God, for the man or woman who wants to actually be pleasing to the Lord, the answer is no. And we'll read why here in Proverbs 8, verse 35 through 36. It says, "Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But whoever sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death." So I guess the question is simple. It's kind of like, should I become a Christian or not? Sure, you have the option to not be a Christian, but we all know what the consequences of that is. It's eternal condemnation. So, as a Christian, do we have the option to not pursue wisdom in our lives? Well, from what I'm reading here, if we want to find life, we also need to find wisdom. And if we hate wisdom, this understanding, this knowledge, this just becoming a skillful person so we can take these acts into righteousness, we're loving death. So, if that's the question, then it's obviously we all here, I hope, want to be wise then, right? All right, so then how do we become wise? That's the question. How can we get to the point to where we are wise? And I love this because the answer to this is simple. Because I'm simple. I need simple answers. I need simple solutions. And we always can look to the scriptures for those things. And so in James chapter 1, verse 5, God gives us the answer to how we can become wise. It says, "If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So, if you're not wise, what do we need to do? Just ask. And God's going to give you the wisdom for that. Now, that's a dangerous thing, and it's a great thing all at the same time, right? Because when you start asking for wisdom, what's God going to do? What's he going to provide for you? He's going to provide for you the wisdom. He's going to provide it in opportunities and ways for you to change and ways for you to do things better. Because again, the definition is the application of skills, knowledge, understanding, discretion into your actions that will lead to righteousness. So just keep that in mind as we're going through this. Wisdom is an action-based thing. It is a knowledge-based thing. So I remember being younger, and I hated learning. School was not my friend, especially through high school. I got through high school because, hey, they didn't want me to stay. And so, you know, I didn't like knowledge. I didn't see the benefit of it. I didn't like that whole process. Now, you know, in my older days now, I love knowledge. I can't absorb enough knowledge. I can't become skillful enough. I'm always looking for ways to improve. I'm always looking for things that I can know, mostly because I have kids, and I want to provide for them. I want them to see me and the struggle that I go through to be a righteous person. And I want them to be able to be a righteous person. I want them to be able to pass that on as they go. So wisdom is meant to change you. You're not going to be the same person that you are today that you're going to be tomorrow. So it's interesting. We got to think about that, especially for this time of the year. Everyone likes to make resolutions. It's New Year's season. We're going into 2024, thinking about the future, what you're going to be doing, what your goals are going to be for the next few years, or this coming year. How can you be more wise? So we know we need to become wise. We know how to become wise. You just need to ask God. And so I guess the next question is, if I can click this, in what areas of my life should I pursue wisdom? Again, as Americans, I feel like we're really good at compartmentalizing things and saying, all right, this is the area of my life I need to be wise in, or this is the area of life I need to be spiritual in. This area is where I can be mean. I can kind of let things go. This part, no one even cares about. So this part of me, no one cares about. So let's look to the scriptures to see if we can get a better answer for what areas of our lives we need to pursue wisdom. And again, we got to look to the scriptures for the answer for this. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. We read, "To trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." So in what ways in our lives do we need to pursue righteousness? It seems like it's always. There's not an area of our lives that we need to think about and not give God the acknowledgement and not give let wisdom that comes from God guide us. And so let's just think about a few examples of that as we're going through that. What about our bodies? It's interesting because this one's a tough one. I feel like this is one where we often think, who cares? I'm here. I'm supposed to be spiritual. I live my life. I'm going to die. We're going to die no matter what. No one gets out alive. Who cares about this body? I just need to be a spiritual person to get to heaven. When reality is, who provided us our body? Is your body actually your own? Or is it borrowed? It's interesting. Terry just got a beautiful new vehicle, and I love it. Let's pretend, for example, I have to borrow Terry's SUV. And I don't tell her what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to take it, but then I take it to the rock quarry, fill it up with rocks and dirt, go pack it and travel, and got the tires sagging. It's getting all beat up. And then I return that SUV to Terry. How's she going to feel about that? I'm telling you, she's not going to be happy with me after I've taken this vehicle that she's just got. It's so nice, and just destroy it. I wonder how God feels when he has given us a body that is the only instrument that we have in order to express our souls, and we take it and we fill it with garbage and trash and porn and drugs and alcohol and other abuses, and then we try to give that thing back to God. I wonder how he feels about that at the end of that, at that road. How would you feel if someone abused something that they gave to you? What about in our relationships? This is huge, right? How can we be wise in our relationships? And just think, again, before I move on to this point, we're talking about, for the body, the application of skills, knowledge, understanding, discretion into acts of righteousness. Is there anything that you can learn about the body that would help it to function better? Is there any skills you can acquire? Is there any knowledge? Is there any understanding you could have? Can you put that into action? And again, what about relationships? Well, as long as it's outward facing. You know, here, we come here, we worship, we put on a good show, you know, we pretend like we don't have any issues at home, we pretend like there's no issues at work, we smile, we shake hands. Is that what really happens? Do we pretend like this is the relationship we're supposed to have with one another, first off? Is that the way the church was designed to function in our relationship with our brethren? Are we supposed to confess our sins to one another and help one another whenever we're caught in a trespass? Or what about our family relationships? No one sees what happens when we're at home and nobody's here. So we have these crazy behaviors that we go to. We're here, we're smiling, we're happy. But at home, we feel like we can talk to someone however we wish. Is that being wise? Is that showing the skill, the knowledge, the understanding, the discretion for your family? What about, I don't know, with this community? Does this community know that this church is a welcoming church? That we want people to come part of this? We're not perfect people, but we know the perfect one, and we're trying to help people get to Christ, get to God. Is that known in this community? Is that the relationship that this community, that this church has with this community? Are we cultivating that? Is there anything we could do to make it better? Is there any skills that we could acquire? Is there any knowledge that we could look for? Is there any understanding of this environment around us? Is there any discretion that we need to be taking while we're acting with that type of relationship? Are we thinking about those things as we're going throughout our life? Are we being wise with our relationships? And what about children? Are you listening to your parents whenever they're asking you to do things that are right? Are you obeying your parents as in the Lord? And some of us, listen, we're old kids and we have parents and we still need to be listening to them, right? As long as the things they're asking us to do is in the Lord, we need to take serious consideration in those things. And in our parenting, we also need to be loving our kids as we should. We need to be raising them up under the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need to be thinking about not only, hey, we're bringing them to church, but what's the home life look like? What are we doing to develop them, giving them the skills, the knowledge, the understanding, the discretion, so they can have acts of righteousness as they get older? What about our labor? We got to work, right? If a man shall not work, so shall he not eat. And so, when you're working, usually it's you got to have skills, right? You got to have some sort of understanding about that, some knowledge of what you're doing, discretion, and acts of righteousness. But do we get more benefits out of working if we have correct attitudes about that? Are we working with the attitude of this? You know, if they're going to pay this much, I'm not going to stay late, and I'm not going to arrive early because I'm just getting a paycheck and I'm getting out of here. You're not investing in yourself and working like you're working for the Lord. Thinking about those things. What about our attitude? This could be our attitude about anything. Our attitude about worship. Our attitude about life. Our attitude on our outlook. What does the Scriptures give us to help us have a better outlook on life? What are we supposed to be focusing on? What does the Scriptures ask us to think about? What, all the murders that are happening? What's going on in the news? What's the weather? You know, how bad the taxes are, or whatever it is, right? No, that's not what the Lord asked us to think about. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are true, whatever things are of a good report, if there is anything that is noble, dwell on these things. And that will frame your mind and give you a completely different attitude about the world. Because it's easy to look at the world and think it's going bad. But if our mindset is the world's going bad, and that keeps us from taking action to reaching out to the world, guess what? Yeah, the world's going to go bad because the people who are trying have a bad attitude about it, and we're not doing anything to reach out to the world so they can come here and get help and heal and grow like we're all trying to do, right? All right? What about our faith? Is one church just as good as another? As long as you're being religious and you're thinking about Jesus, that's wonderful. That's not what I read. That's not my understanding of the Scriptures. It matters what we do. It matters with our acts of worship. It matters how we worship, when we worship, and what ways God has approved for us to worship. And all this is a part of what we're asked to do with wisdom, to do it with skill, to do it with knowledge, to have an understanding about what you're doing, to have discretion whenever you're doing those things, and to act, to move on those things, so you can be righteous. And so here's what I want you to see also. Again, we try to silo things. We try to make sure, you know, okay, he's talking about this, talking about this. They're all tied together. If you're not taking care of your body, then you're probably not taking care of certain relationships. If you're not working like you're working for the Lord, then maybe you're not working for the church either. If you're not having a good attitude about life, maybe that's going to affect your relationships, that's going to affect your faith, that's going to affect everything. You can't separate these things. Here's one thing I want us to get. That there isn't anything that doesn't matter to God. There's not an area of your life where you can say, I'm just going to let this piece go, and it's not going to affect any other aspect of my life. Everything affects everything else. So we need to be wise. We need to use wisdom throughout our lives and understand that when we let go in one spot, it's not just one spot that we're missing out on. It's other areas of our life are going to be impacted by that. Does that make sense? These things are all tied together. So wisdom does have a call. He wants you. She wants you. Sorry, she wants you. And let's read Proverbs 1, verse 20 through 33. It says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the opening of the gate in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because you have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distresses and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Two words I want us to kind of look at here as we're looking at this. This is, to me, a terrifying and comforting piece of text. It's comforting because we see wisdom's crying out loud. We see her everywhere. She's outside, raising her voice in the open square. She's at the chief concourse. She's out there open, calling to who? The simple ones. Me. You. Anyone. It's not calling to the wise of this world. Who cares if you're wise? It's not calling to the smartest people in the world. It's not calling to the most skillful people in the world. It's calling to the simple ones. People like me. That we can be wise too. And it's interesting, who loves to be rebuked? I'm learning to. It's tough. Especially when I know it's going to be a benefit to me and I know the person who's rebuking me has got their best interest for me. I'm learning to not take that as something to fight against, something to hate, something to be upset about. But if their best interest is at heart, even if they go about it the wrong way, I have to listen to that. And so wisdom is not even coming at us the wrong way. It's rebuking us, saying, turn, repent, listen to my counsel, do not despise the things that wisdom has to tell you. Because I'm telling you, it's a temptation. It's easy. Because when we think about the things that we're supposed to be wise with all of our life, there are aspects of my life I just don't want to be wise in. I'd rather be ignorant in, because I enjoy doing the things that aren't wise more than I enjoy doing the things that are wise. And that's the problem that we have. We know that there's a better way. Wisdom's calling out loud. It's obvious to us, but we hate it. Let's just be real. We hate it when we're supposed to eat healthy and exercise. That's easy, everybody. It's simple, right? It's not like it's a secret, but how many of us want to do that? Or when we know to criticize in private and praise in public. But some, it's so tempting to get them because they did this thing in front of everybody. You want to nail them right there, right? It's tempting to do those things. Or you're at work. This is the part where I can let go. The kids aren't around. No one works here at church. I can just let go. I'm working here. I'm getting money. I'm taking care of my family. No one needs to know I'm a Christian here. No one needs to even know I exist here. I'm just going to work. Let it go. It's easier that way. I could lose my job if I started talking about Christ, if people knew that I was a Christian here. You see? We have to turn at wisdom's rebuke. We have to listen to wisdom's counsel. Because, here's the truth, we will be destroyed. And then in that moment where we already lost the job, we already lost our abilities to use whatever God has entrusted us with, we've lost the relationships, now we're going to look for wisdom. Now we're calling on God to fix the problem when God's been reaching out to you the entire time with wisdom saying, take my hand, I'm here, let me help you. Yet, we don't take advantage of the opportunities that God's put in front of us to be wise, to take advantage of those things. There is one call that's out there that's even greater than wisdom's call. And that's the gospel call. To know that Christ came on this earth and exercised wisdom to perfection. That he let wisdom guide him because he is the creator of wisdom. He showed us the way to live. And that Savior died on a cross that you and I might have life. That we could make the only wise choice out there, which is to choose life and to become a Christian. And so we recognize some patterns as we go through this. If we look through the New Testament, of what folks did in order to become a Christian. First thing is they heard the Word of God. In Romans 10:17, says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have you heard God's message? Have you heard the gospel message? That is a great thing, but it doesn't just stop there. You got to believe what you've been hearing. In Mark 16:16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And then we have to repent. In Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, these are action-oriented things. You hear this, so you're hearing, that's active. I've seen you listening today. I've saw the head shakes. I've saw the wheels turning, and I appreciate that. If you believe those things, that's great. That's called your conviction right there. Now, what I'm asking you to do is to repent. If there's things that you're not being wise in, turn away from those things. And then confess. It says in Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That you're going to speak the same thing as Jesus. We're going to say the same things. And we're going to confess that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then we're going to be baptized, as is the pattern that we've seen in the New Testament. In 1 Peter 3:21, we also learn kind of the definition of what baptism is. There is an antitype which now saves us, baptism, and it's not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what puts you into Christ. Baptism. But we're not done at that point. You've made it to the church, you've made it in the church, but here's the truth. You have to live faithfully. In Matthew 7, verse 21, we read, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." You see, that's where the wisdom is. That's where we need to apply the application of skill, knowledge, and understanding and discretion into acts of righteousness as we're growing in our faith. That every day we're pushing and learning to be a better version of ourselves, to be more and more like Christ every single day. And that's the gospel's call, that we set the goals, that we think about it, that we actually pay attention to our lives and make the best of what God's entrusted us with. Because if we were to gain the whole world and you lose your soul, that's a loss. That's how much value God has placed on each and every one of you and myself. And all he's asking us to do is do the next right thing. Be wise with what God's entrusted you with. Are you subject to the gospel call this morning? Are you ready to be baptized into Christ? Or maybe you're ready to recommit to Christ. Whatever the need is, please come forward right now as we stand and sing this song for your encouragement.